Anatomy and Physiology, Gulf Coast State College. Today we're going to talk about some inorganic chemistry. Let's start out with some definitions. In general, inorganic compounds are simple. That doesn't mean they always are, but maybe compared to the organic ones, I guess we could think of them as being more simple. And usually they don't contain any carbons. Notice it says usually, not always. I'll give you one common example you should know so you don't get tricked by your friends or family in a game of Trivial Pursuit. There's one very common inorganic compound that we all know called carbon dioxide. It does have carbon in it, but it is considered an inorganic compound. The major ones that we'll talk about in order are, number one, we're going to talk about water. Of course, the most important substance in the whole body, as we've already alluded to. Then we'll talk about acids, we'll talk about bases, and we'll talk about salts. Hope you enjoy the pretty picture of water on here, by the way. I kind of like that one. We'll start with water, the most important and the most abundant inorganic compound in the body by far, and that's why it's got triple red stars next to it. We're going to talk about several of the very important functions of water in the human body. Number one, it works as a solvent. What does that mean? By definition, it's a medium in which solutes dissolve to form a solution. Let me break that down a little bit. A medium, it just means it's a substance in which solutes. What are solutes? Well, solutes are just particles or junk, like salt, for example. So water is a substance in which particles dissolve to form a solution, like a salt water solution, for example. Where do we see them in the human body? Inside of our cells, the watery solution is called cytosol. Of course, our cells could not function without that. We have a watery solution in our blood plasma. We, of course, couldn't function without that. The short story about blood that we'll learn a lot about later is blood takes good stuff to our tissues and carries bad stuff away. So blood is in with the good, out with the bad. Urine, of course, is a watery solution that helps us get rid of waste products and therefore helps us maintain a constant normal internal environment. It also helps regulate water balance and so forth in our body, and we'll learn a lot about that when we cover the urinary system. And sweat, of course, is a watery solution as well, which contains water and particles like electrolytes in it as well. What's another function of water we must know? It functions as a lubricant. Our joints would not move well without it. Our heart would not beat well in our chest without it. And our lungs would not be able to expand and contract properly without it as well. I love this third function, temperature regulation. Water can absorb or release a large amount of heat with only a small change in its own temperature. How important is that? Well, again, our body lives within a very tight temperature range. If it's too high or too low, if we have too high of a fever, our brains can melt in our skull. If our temperature is too low, we can die very quickly of hypothermia. So we live within a very narrow range. But water is a unique substance that allows us to maintain that narrow range that we live in. Let me give you an example of what point number three says in English. Do you ever notice, like on the weather forecast, when they're given the temperature ranges throughout the day, when they give the temperatures of the towns near the beach, there's much less fluctuation of highs and lows and much less fluctuation in the summer and in the winter than there are in temperatures that are inland or far away from the body of water, because the body of water kind of helps keep things stable because there's less fluctuation, because again, it can handle these big changes in absorbing and releasing heat without changing its temperature drastically. That's why water, of course, is used as a coolant in our car engines as well. The fourth important function on this slide is critical to life. It's called hydrolysis. Now, I love that word hydrolysis. If we break it down, hydro means water, lysis means to break apart. So hydrolysis is a process by which large molecules, like the foods we eat, carbs, protein, lipids, are broken down into smaller molecules like glucose, like amino acids and fatty acids, by chemically adding water. So in other words, we can't digest or absorb our food without water. Here's a neat visual looking at water and its function as a solvent. Let's take a look here at the slide and break it down. Over here, my pointer circling around a salt crystal. So this is NaCl bound together with ionic bonds. Picture it just like the salt, a salt shaker. And then over here is the water molecule that we formed earlier in one of our discussions by using polar covalent bonds. And if you mix water with salt, which we all have done, what happens? Well, the water molecules form these hydration shells, or water shells, if you will, around the sodium ions, and the water molecules also form hydration shells, or water shells, if you will, around the chloride ions. And look how it does it by orienting its negatively charged oxygens around the positively charged sodiums, and by orienting its positively charged hydrogens around the negatively charged chloride ions. So this is how we break apart or dissolve crystals of salt in water. Now, to clarify our definitions, what would be the solvent, or what does the dissolving in this slide? Well, it's the water. Water is the solvent. What is the solute, or the junk, or the particles? Well, the particles are the crystals of salt, just like from the salt shaker. So the salt would be the solute. And what's the solution? Well, the solution is the mixture of salt water over to the right. So when you dump salt in a glass of water, the water is the solvent, the salt crystals are the solute, and then we just stir it with your spoon or whatever and then have that clear solution. Well, that's the solution. And this is how it's chemically done. Here is a beautiful interaction animation. I hope you enjoy these. Again, I find them very nice to look at, so please check these out. Let's continue our discussion of inorganic compounds. Next, we'll talk about something called acids. By definition, acids are substances that dissociate. That means they break apart in solution and release hydrogen ions. Hydrogen ions are abbreviated H+. And when you see this chemical symbol H+, and you see the words hydrogen ions, you think acids. From here all the way through the end of AMP, H+ equals acids. And here's the deal about acids and our human body. Our body cells, as part of our metabolic processes, are making acids all day, every day. And if we don't find a way to get rid of them or neutralize them, we won't live to another day. So very important to know about acids. Next, we'll talk about bases. Bases are inorganic compounds that dissociate, that means they break up in solution, and release hydroxide ions, which are abbreviated OH-. OH- represents base. Finally, the fourth inorganic compound we'll talk about are salts. Salts are inorganic compounds that dissociate. That means they break up in solution. And when they do, they release ions other than hydrogen or hydroxide ions. some important ionic compounds to talk about. Ionic compounds that break up into ions in solution are called electrolytes. Very important definition. How do I know? Well, I make the test questions, and also there's double red stars next to it. Very common example that we all know about, sodium chloride. That's salt, just like in a salt shaker. Picture those salt crystals. When you dump them into the water, they break up, just like we demonstrated, into positive sodium ions and negative chloride ions. Those are electrolytes, and they are important for many reasons, but one of the reasons these electrolytes are important is because they can conduct electrical current. Our muscles can't work without it, our nerves can't work without it, and therefore our bodies cannot work without electrolytes. And I threw in a little clip art of a salt shaker on this slide. Remember, when you dump those salt crystals into water, they break apart into ions called electrolytes that give our body the ability to conduct electrical signals, again, in our nerves and in our muscles. This slide is a great visual to pull it all together. So let's take a look visually at acids, bases, and salts. First, over to the left, we have HCl. Many of you may know that's hydrochloric acid. When you dump that into water, it dissociates into positive hydrogen ions, which represents the acid as we have defined, and also negative chloride ions. Second, we have an example of a base. This is potassium hydroxide. When you dump that into water, it dissociates or dissolves into positively charged potassium ions, but also negatively charged hydroxide ions, which by definition represents a base. And finally, over to the right, we have KCl, which is potassium chloride. When you dissolve that in water, it dissociates or breaks up into charged particles, including positive potassium and negative chloride. Since there are no hydrogen or hydroxide ions, it is therefore a salt. I want to talk a little bit about acid-base balance. I want to talk about pH. And want to talk about buffers. I know this slide looks really busy, and it is. This is something that's very important to understand for your patients. Again, we live in a very tight range, especially with pH. Our pH, normal arterial blood pH, is about in the 7.35 to 7.45 range. If we're just a little bit off, either way, we can die very quickly. Many of you may have heard of a disease called diabetic ketoacidosis. When those patients come into the ER, they're sick as a dog. And one of their main problems is not that their sugar is real high, it's the main problem is that their acid levels are very high. And if you don't recognize it and fix it as you're going to be trained to do, they're going to die on you quickly. And I want that to never happen with any of you and your patients. So let's get some basics down here. First of all, pH. pH is a measure of acid, specifically a measure of hydrogen positive ions in a solution and in our body. Unfortunately, the person who invented this did this scale in a reverse or inverse manner. In other words, the lower the pH means the higher the acid. Well, if I invented this pH scale, I certainly wouldn't have done it that way, because that doesn't make sense. So here's the way I do it for my pea brain. And a lot of times I recommend to students in a testing situation or whatever is to write this down. Write down the pH scale like this. First of all, the pH scale runs from a low of 0 to a high of 14. So draw a line, and on one end of the line, make a 0. On the other end of the line, make a 14. And then, under the 0, I want you to draw on that line the letter A. And A, for my pea brain, simply represents acid. Then on the other end of the line, to the far right where you have the number 14, write the letter B. And B stands for base, and that's easy for my pea brain to remember. So draw yourself a line from 0 to 14, and then from A to B. That means from acid to base. And then hopefully you'll remember that the low numbers towards 0 actually represent acids, and the high pH numbers up towards 14 actually represent bases. So again, 0 to 14, A to B, acid to base. And what's in the middle? Neutral is in the middle. Neutral is right around 7 if you're a pure chemistry kind of person. But for the human body, at least for arterial blood, neutral is about 7.4. This brings me to another topic. I want you to know a little bit about buffers now. Buffers is the fill in the blank on this page. We'll talk a lot about them when we do acid-base balance and further on in A&P. But what are buffers? Let's talk briefly about them. Buffers are chemical compounds that help to control the pH of a solution by adding or removing hydrogen ions. That's H+. That's acid. Again, here's the deal. Our body cells are making acid all day, every day. You better find a way to get rid of it or you're not going to make it to the next day. Our body has various mechanisms to deal with acids. Breathing plays a role in dealing with pH balance. Our kidneys, of course, play a huge role in acid-base balance. But since we're talking about chemistry here, buffers are chemical compounds that we have in many of our body fluids that are ever ready, present, and can quickly, although very temporarily, deal with an acid-base problem and try to neutralize it. I like the term buffer. It sounds like a buffer zone in a military situation. You know, if you have two countries at war, a lot of times you'll set up a buffer zone. Is it a permanent solution? No. And buffers in the body aren't a permanent solution either. They don't permanently fix the situation. Buffers quickly but temporarily can bring us back to neutral. So they help neutralize a bad situation and make it a better situation. So buffers, very important to know at this stage of the game. This slide is one of our interactions animations from your textbook. Again, I love the videos. I hope you're enjoying them as well. I strongly encourage you to work your way through them. I believe they'll be very helpful. I think that's where we'll stop today's discussion. And next time, we're going to start off with some organic chemistry.